Greetings and or salutations, and welcome back to Imbibe Cinema. I'm Jonathan C. Leggett, along with my co-hosts...
Michael Nguyen.
Trisha Leggett.
In this episode, we're going to be discussing Amy Poehler's Wine Country, currently available on Netflix, while imbibing the fruity white wine cocktail. This recipe is on our website, which is imbibecinema.com. It is Moscato and gin with some peach schnapps. It's actually quite tasty, even with the juniper. And I say that, and I had relayed this story already to Michael and Trisha, but my first experience with gin was on my 21st birthday when somebody gave me a Tom Collins. And I can only liken the experience to going down on a Christmas tree.
That's painful.
It's a very specific gin.
Yeah, I mean, it tasted like you were just licking a pine pine cone, or specifically like one of those pine air fresheners that you stick in your car. It was not a pleasant experience.
See, now here with this drink, we are having it in a wine glass, you know, to embrace
it's wine country.
Yes,
right, of course.
This, I think, for the first time is when I really realized that the glass itself, how it holds in
aromatics.
Yes, and it is potent, and I don't like it. But I'm going to commit to it like any woman who makes a plan, sticks to it, and is happy about it anyway.
Okay, Amy Poehler.
I think it embraces the film that we are. And you know what? I did pick the drink. I did.
I think it's quite tasty.
I'm not old enough for gin.
I'm a beer drinker, as you guys know.
Yeah.
So really the only time I drink liquor...
Is with
you guys during this podcast, and I've learned that actually there's a lot that I'm pretty good with, and apparently I'm good with gin.
Well, as long as it's cut,
cut gin.
You and I maybe during the break we'll just take a straight shot of gin.
Let's do that. Yeah. I want to know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Then I'll know.
Was it the real cocktail age?
Am I like an old soul if I can drink gin?
Really suddenly like gin?
Because old people do shots of gin.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
I mean, why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Although, I mean, it's also, I think, very cool, very hip, very gangsta if you drink gin, right? Gin and juice.
Gin martinis, gin juice.
It makes you kind of a badass.
Yeah. I mean, although I will state.
I feel like a badass.
Or an old lady, one or the other.
See, I was going to say, during the break, we might also pull out a game of bridge or canasta. Put on an Afghan. The Imbibe Cinema Podcast is brought to you by the Blue Whiskey Independent Film Festival, otherwise known as BWIF. Our festival seeks independent, character-driven films of all lengths, styles, and genres. To learn more, visit us at BWIF.com. All right, Wine Country. This was an absolutely hilarious film, full of extremely quotable and real moments. One thing that I found absolutely fantastic is not only did you have your normal front of the camera SNL ladies, but you also got a couple of the people who had been on the writing staff at the same time, specifically Paula Pell and Emily Spivey, who got to shine a lot in this. And I'm very happy with how this film turned out.
I agree. I'm sad that we have not seen more of them. Prior to this,
Paul has actually been doing a lot of work specifically.
Oh, I know.
She does a lot of
voice work.
This is
her moment in the sun. This is her, like, you know, she's come out of hiding or something.
Yeah.
She's dynamite. She's everywhere.
Yeah. She's killing it on AP Bio, and she's done a lot of voice work before that. But Emily, this, you know, she has not done a whole lot in front of the camera per se, but she's actually one of the writers of this film along with Liz Kakowski. For both of them, this was kind of their first feature written. Both of them have done a lot of television up to this point. Obviously SNL, and then, you know, all sorts of other television, you know, episodics. But this was really kind of their first, especially joint feature film that was written by them. So
right. Well, and this is the first. This is the directorial debut.
Feature. Yep, the feature directorial debut for Amy Poehler, who I thought did an amazing job of not only bringing an incredibly interesting cast together, but also really kind of keeping the story moving and really driving this along.
And it was based, the idea of it, I mean, I heard this in an interview, but it was the whole thing was based on an actual birthday party trip
Yeah, apparently a lot of the SNL girls would go on trips like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is loosely based on the idea that it's a bunch of girls going out. I think there might be a few tidbits of actual events here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, there was something about, and I mean, my memory is Swiss cheese at this point, but as I recall, there was something about, like, they do different theme stuff, different, you know, mm-hmm. and it was like one of them was everybody was in a muumuu, something like that. Or maybe I just hallucinated that.
Could've
I don't know.
Just a particular night. I do think.
Trisha was just like, that's a great idea. We should
do that. I've just moo-moo been secretly longing for more muumuus in my life.
Yeah. Imbibe podcast brought to you by Moomoo Night. What I found funny about that same interview, and I think that either was Amy Poehler or it might have been Anna Gasteyer who was on Seth Meyers talking about it, but apparently Amy's character in it, Abby, is based on Amy Poehler, because apparently she is a planner, and it has apparently upset some of the other girls at points because she over plans and like puts out an itinerary for them all to, you know, follow strictly, and they just kind of want to be, you know, having fun.
Well, and I don't know about you guys, but it felt like there was a different of all the characters. There were moments of each character that I was like, oh, I'm that person on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Amy Poehler has her whole breakdown about how she lost her job and she's so upset and she's crying. And she's like, it's stupid that I'm crying about this because, like, the world is ending and the climate is changing and there's, like, one rhinoceros left.
Yeah, I absolutely loved
and I'm like,
that.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I feel your pain. Yes.
Yeah.
Because just a quick thing, though, about that particular moment as I was like, whoa, this movie's getting real right now. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I get this because I get that frustration when you're in a group of friends or, you know, family or whatever where, you know, somebody in the group or even it could be half of the group is kind of like pushing one way and it's like, you know, just let go.
Yeah.
And so I was like, whoa, this movie's getting real serious. And then all of a sudden in this very serious moment, she comes out with that stuff. And I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. But at the same time, I was just like laughing so hard. I was like, oh, that joke snuck up on me.
Yeah.
But it's not a joke. It's real.
It's like, real. It's that's real. The other thing.
Yeah. And then that's, again, why I found this film so interesting and entertaining is the fact that none of the characters go to the extreme SNL, like, you know,
even though there are moments that are extreme, but you have, like, there's some
the
really
real.
Deep moments. Like, there's a point where they talk about Prince.
Oh, yes.
And
Maya Rudolph.
Maya's in a band. They do Princess instead of Prince. They're a Prince cover band. And
okay.
They like huge Prince fans. In fact, before Prince passed away, he had, you know, given them thumbs up.
Yeah.
And they have performed all over. Anyway, so huge Prince fans. And they're, you know, talking about it in the hot tub about how, you know, you're getting old or when your idols are dying. And it's kind of like, whoa, that kind of set in. Because, I mean, last year or two, I mean, there's been a lot, even more than that. There's been a lot of people who passed on. Like, was it 2016?
2016
was like the celebrity death.
Chaos.
Anytime somebody brought up someone famous's name, you're like, oh, no, them too. They died too. And then 2017 was like, oh, no, you're a predator too.
In fact, I think in 2017, more often than not, you were going, God, I hope they just died.
Tangent aside. The idea that, you know, we've gotten to that point where, you know, the people we looked up to are going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, that's a wake-up call in a kind of a sense. That's a different perspective.
So, obviously, the big thing is this is Rachel Dratch's 50th birthday party, or Rachel Dratch's character, Rebecca's 50th birthday party. And so the girls are all circling the wagons and going out on a thing. And I do like specifically that Rachel Dratch's character is in denial.
Oh, yeah. Let's not make it about me this weekend.
Yeah. Let's make it a party, and then I'll just kind of ease into 50 during it, you know.
How they met.
Oh, yes.
They all worked at this pizza place.
Chicago
and
Pizzeria.
What I think is kind of cool about it is, I mean, they don't really talk about all of their ages, but it's like a range of ages.
Right.
And it makes sense why, you know, they formed this bond, and yet, You know, there are clearly some people who there's probably, I mean, I don't know how long the range is, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's somewhere between, you know, 10, 15 years from the oldest to the youngest. Yeah. But 50 is probably the oldest person there, I would have guessed, because otherwise, why wouldn't we have done this already?
True.
Well, I mean, this could just be her 50th specifically.
Right. But what I'm saying is it's like, oh, we're celebrating her big, you know, the way that they keep approaching it, it seems like she's
it's a novel
the oldest.
Thing. It's, okay. She's the first to go through. Yeah.
Exactly.
Emily's character, I love Emily's character, is that whole like, I'm probably not going to go. Oh, it sounds great. I'm really excited. I'm not going to go.
There's a part of me.
Right.
That is that.
Right? And it's all just the time. It's just like there's so much work involved in actually going to do something. I'm just not going to go.
Have fun. I'm not going.
Like, we didn't even think that she was going to come. I didn't think I was going to come.
Yeah. Did you only book a four-room place? Or five-room because you didn't want me to come? It's like, no, I didn't even think she was going to come.
And then, like, the whole weekend, she's like, why am I here?
Yeah. And that's Anna Gasteyer, who is the workaholic, who is one of those people. And this is my character, the Anna Gasteyer character, the one who is so absorbed with work and with their own personal things that they have stopped being invited to the girls' weekends or to any other big things because every time you reach out to this person and you go, hey, let's hang out, they are too busy to hang out, and so eventually you stop calling, and so she feels out of it because of that particular thing. Now, the cinematographer was Tom McGill, who has done The Office, Parks and Rec, Angie Tribeca, and to a degree, there was obviously that familiarity for Parks and Rec.
The one part that actually stood out for me cinematography wise was the party where they have the first night where they're like, we're gonna have a dance off because we're not gonna do drugs, except for the ones we're already on.
Yes.
We're totally against
which
drugs,
is the ones things you say when you're
things we say now. And they had they do the list of songs, and it's Emily and Amy that are
they're in almost an extreme close-up with two of them in it,
right? So it's like half of one face, half the other on either, like bordering the screen. And I thought it was a really cool look. It felt very intimate and silly and fun. And then during the dance sequence, there's this very last minute, like when the camera moves just past Paula and then it cuts out and you're like, did I just see boobs? Like it was just that quick. And I was like, well played, very classy.
I think that it was shot beautifully. I think that, they did a great job of the locations. Obviously, that was one nomination that they had gotten from specifically California Locations Award.
We have such a high regard for Napa. Well, you can tell. Yeah. It comes through in the film.
Yeah, actually.
There's like enough of this wine bullshit.
Yeah.
This is really good. Drink. What's this one called?
What I love, because they're all
white
very
wine.
I've never been to Napa, but no. I feel like that is like not even an exaggeration at all. I am certain that that is exactly how each of these
wineries.
What do you call them? Yeah, what
vineyard?
Are they
sommeliers?
Yeah, thank you. I'm like, it starts with an S.
Yeah,
very fancy.
I'm sure that's exactly how they are. And how they're slightly different too, like they have their own little characters to them.
Yeah.
But they're very passionate about what they're talking about, and they expect people who show up to be equally passionate about that. But what I think is funny, especially, was the one in the vineyard. How she's just like, it's like she can't read the room.
No,
not at all. Like
anybody know what we call these? Anybody? Anybody? No.
No.
You could tell us.
Tannins. I like to call them wine crystals?
Wine diamonds.
Wine diamonds, thank you.
We learned a lot about wine.
Yeah. Can we just rush this up? Can we move on? Thank you. Other thing I liked is the gentleman at the place prior to that they're talking to.
He was so annoying.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, not over the top, just like a normal, I feel like that's probably what would happen. But like the moment where they're all like, all right, let's pound this. And he's like, well, actually really take your time with that.
Sip and enjoy it. Yep.
Yeah, no, that was the other thing was when they get cornered by the organic lady mm-hmm. because they're walking through the vineyard. And it's this whole moment of like, you're not supposed to be out here. We put up a sign. Oh, look, there's one right next to me. Yeah. You should come out now.
Facing
it
the wrong
way. Sorry. We're sorry. We'll go. We'll go, you know. And then as soon as she leaves, they're like, meh, 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 meh. And then as soon as she comes back, they're like, oh my God, you're back.
Well, and that's the thing.
I've done that.
The comment about like, it's facing the wrong way. Yeah. I loved that because, to me, that was like a sheer moment of improvisation. Like, I would be shocked if that was not, that moment specifically was not improvised. Yeah. And I feel like there's obviously lots of improvisation throughout the whole film. But that's one of those moments where it's like, well, yeah, it's, you know, the production designer knew that the shot was going to be from this angle. So it probably is only one-sided, even though it could have been double-sided.
Or,
but the actress just called them out and just said, it's on the wrong side.
See, I don't even think the production, to me, now granted, you know, we can't really get into Keith P. Cunningham's head or whether or not, find out whether or not in that particular vineyard he had any control over the actual production.
True.
To me, they were probably shooting, not gorilla, but that might actually be how the sign is in that vineyard, and Amy probably just called it out, just being like, look, great, you're pointing that out, but, you know, how the hell would I have known that if I were, you know? So, you know, there's that. And then one thing that I found very entertaining, obviously, when we talk about all the supporting cast, even though Liz Kakowski was the sommelier for the organics of vineyard and also the writer, Allison Jones, who was the casting director also for Booksmart, which we've already done. I know. See? It comes full circle. So she obviously, you know, hit up all the supporting cast, because I can guarantee that Amy probably just reached out directly to her main cast without fail. And in fact, actually, other things that I found interesting when it comes to the crew is Julie Monroe was the editor for this film. And the clip on this was absolutely fantastic. But what I found fascinating about Julie's IMDb page is her editing credits include Transformers Last Night, The Patriot, the Mel Gibson movie, and Lolita.
That's a range.
That's like a summary. That's not all of them, right?
No, that's not all of them. Okay. But again,
it's like, that's spaced out.
Just the ones that, that she had been working on. And, like, there is not a style that you can say she lands in. So she's managed to edit Michael Bay and Amy Poehler.
That's already an amazing achievement.
Right? It's true.
It's just editing out other cameras, isn't it? At least the whole job.
It must be the whole job.
Just fighting. Oh, camera. All right, next cut or next angle.
I have about 30 hours of just explosions that I've got to go through.
Nope, there's too much flame on this one. Nope.
This isn't even the right movie, was it?
That's actually not very far off from the truth, by the way, too, but that's a topic for another day.
Oh, Jesus. Let's see. Other characters specifically to call out Jason Schwartzman from...
What's in Devin? Is that his
name? Yeah, he's Devin.
Devin. Oh, my God, what a name. When you say Devin, you're like, oh, I expect somebody interesting.
Devin.
Just like Chad.
Devin. Yeah. But no, he...
It's like cuttlefish that... Is that what he's...
But yeah, it was
so
squid, and he's like, no, but this one's a cuttlefish. Yeah, you can
tell.
He's
like cuddling with the fish, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
The amount of time he touches that fish.
Making a paella. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, also, fun fact, evidently, during one of the birthday party, or one of their gatherings, maybe the one it's based on, I'm not sure, they did have some local chef put together
paella specifically.
Oh.
So again, I think that there's elements to this. I don't think it's necessarily based on one particular as much as like the collection of all of their outings.
It's a lot of paella though that went to waste.
Jesus.
Also, nobody ever got to eat the paella.
Does it take more than 12 hours to cook a paella?
Why are you stirring it with like an oar? Like, that's gross. Yeah.
Because you're Devin.
Because you're Devin.
It's the paella oar.
Yeah.
I just love that he keeps trying to get involved in the music.
Oh, yeah.
And because they have a very specific jam that they listen to.
That's right. How about this? No.
No.
This? No.
No.
Would this really shape my life? Don't care.
Yeah.
Nothing more recent than Hey Ya.
Yes.
Well, and what
very
do they call
specific.
Them? DUI songs or their DUI list or something like that?
Yeah. There's the DUI list
Is this the music that they would expect to get pulled over?
I don't remember.
Oh, God, I can't remember what the heck they called it or why they called it the DUI list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that makes sense.
But one of the things is the film is full of little things that are inside jokes to them because they've known each other forever.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't necessarily explain everything,
no.
Which is great because you don't need that.
No.
And just to know that they have
close,
a group.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of their own language.
Yeah.
Well, we even have that moment when Catherine is like, oh, I fell asleep before that. Is there what inside jokes do I need to know about?
Yes.
Like this. Fill me in. One moment I would like to talk about that kind of brings me back to our first podcast.
Ooh.
With Michelle Buteau, I think I'm saying her name correctly, who played Veronica in Always Be My Maybe.
Yes.
That
extreme awkward pause,
and how this movie did it entirely differently. It was like the same kind of bit, but played like a 180, and I loved about it, first of all, it was also like maybe 30 seconds longer. And what I loved about it was like, it wasn't necessarily for a laugh, I felt.
No.
I mean, you ended up laughing because it's just so uncomfortable, even like by myself, and I was watching the movie by myself. But what I loved about that moment was I was like, really, she could go either way with this. Like at any moment, she could be like,
pure disgust.
Get the fuck out of here, Devin. Or she could be like, sure.
I
and you feel like you're actually helping her decide.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Like,
yes.
No, it's not a good don't. Well, I guess
she played it so well.
I love that you don't even necessarily see her like make the decision. It's mm-mm. still the same deadpan, like, seriously, you just asked that question, and then it's,
and
yeah,
then
okay.
I am thinking about it. Right?
But not really.
But then he's like chewing on his nails and it's like scratching his beard. And the more he does, the more you're like, you don't want to go there, honey. Yeah. Don't do it.
I slept with Devin. I also slept with Devin.
He truly comes with the house.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a few more moments to fill our glasses with some more gin and get ready to imbibe more after this.
Hey, dear listener. This is Michael with Imbibe Cinema and the Blue Whiskey Independent Film Festival. Did you know that Imbibe Cinema isn't just a podcast? We've also got a variety of articles and reviews available to read on our website, plus a streaming membership that gives you access to a new batch of independent films every month. Become an Imbibe Cinema member today at watch.imbibecinema.com. That's watch.imbibecinema.com. Thanks for supporting and imbibing the various content we offer. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to Imbibe Cinema. I am Jonathan C. Leggett, and I am along here with...
Michael Nguyen's.
Trisha Leggett.
And we are discussing Wine Country. Is this your favorite episode so far? Want to hear more? Please subscribe or follow us on all of your favorite podcast providers to get all of our new episodes as soon as we release them. Rate and or leave us a review to help the show reach a larger audience. You can also follow us at Imbibe Cinema on Facebook. So this was clearly written by some witty and funny people. But one of the major things that I know Michael and I, we had wanted to discuss in general, was knowing this cast, one has to ask how much of this film was improvised.
Yep.
So many good lines. You know, you're like, once you look into the eyes of a raccoon, that's when you truly know your inner self or your true self. I was like, Jesus.
I completely forgot about that scene.
Oh, God.
The seriousness, the gravity with it. It was like, I've seen God.
The paw prints.
The window did it for me. Like, I lost.
It was the dad. How do you know it was the dad? I could tell.
Yeah.
He was the leader.
They have so many beautiful moments and you know, I mean, we know like Curb Your Enthusiasm and films like that or episodes like that or shows like that have a theme or a scene synopsis that they want to get certain bits of information out, but at the same time they then just let the actors go, whereas I do feel that part of this
was pretty well scripted. I would think it was scripted, and then, you know, people got takes where they could improvise or just add it on the fly. The Harrison Ford, I know, and then...
Oh, yes.
We've done this 100 times, and I give up.
Yeah, easily the best response to I love you.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Of all time.
And it was cut.
That's it.
Right. Let's move on.
Yeah.
So talking about the story.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So true
and
confession.
Improv. Okay, go ahead.
I'm gonna have my confession.
Oh, the big confession.
Yes.
Ooh,
confession. I'm gonna have faith that nobody I know listens to this. Okay. So moment of honesty, folks. So I'm watching this movie. Two things. One, Paula's new knees. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Taking her knees out for a spin.
Let me show you how great these bad boys are. So here's the setup.
Watching the knees in the beginning when she's like, they're like, how you doing? How you doing, Belle? Because they're walking and it's longer than they anticipated to get to the restaurant. And she's like, I love it. My new knees. Watch this. And she runs ahead of them and she like jumps up, hits a sign, does it like tucks and rolls, like leaps over. Like he leaps over another sign. She's just, and it's hysterical. It just, oh my God, cracked up. Loved it. Right. So you establish that she's now a gymnast with these new knees. Right. And then later in the movie, we almost forget about that. Later in the movie, and they're at the top of the hill. The
climax.
And, yeah. And they're at the top of the hill. And it's like, no, I've got to go down the hill. And she's like, I'm going to save you. I'm going to use my knees. You know, you think that she's going to ninja herself down this hill, and it's awful.
Yeah, we're talking Princess Bride,
right?
rolling down the hill.
She goes from like ninja to old lady and like that.
Yeah,
and just in that moment, which I think is a nice way of looking at the whole film, because they start out so young. And then they acknowledge, okay, we're not that young. And then it's like, the longer the film goes on, the more we acknowledge, okay, we're really older than that. We're getting older than that. And so when it's like, yeah, I could do all this cool stuff with my knees. And now, oh my God, she falls on the hill. I laughed so hard.
How hard did you laugh?
I peed.
Yep.
It was terrible. I went my pants. I laughed so hard.
Yes,
I did. What has given me this bravery to be honest and open about this
is that she doesn't think anybody's listening.
No, actually, not that at all. It's an actress, Kimmy Schmidt.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and that's Ellie Kemper.
She was on an interview, and she talks about, like, sometimes when she laughs really hard, she loses control of her bladder.
Yep.
And I was like, oh my God, thank you. I thought I was a freak. But no, thank you, woman. Thank you. So I can be brave, too, and say, I laughed so hard, I peed. I did.
She gave you the courage.
She did.
Wow.
Made me brave.
Admit that you peed yourself. I'm trying to
think. Oh my God, it was so funny.
Believe me, this movie was pretty outlandish. But I'm trying to think if I've ever had a movie experience where I've peed myself from laughing. And sadly, I cannot say that I have.
Show off.
I have never peed.
From laughing. Ever. Ever. Are you real backed up?
Poorly placed pause. I have never laughed so hard. I peed.
It's the gin talking.
What a great.
Oh, speaking of random things,
John's gonna steal
the
it.
Things we say now. Bit the CPAP machine.
Oh yes.
Fun fact: that is Amy Poehler's CPAP machine.
She
brought her own to
CPAP?
Set. Yeah, she brought her.
Fascinating.
Own. Well, it was method, I'm sure. She brought it home. She worked with it. Uh-huh. And she got comfortable with
wow,
it.
Wow, that's...
I know that that has become a newer thing is people addressing their sleep apnea and stuff like that. I mean, again,
well,
it's something that wasn't
way,
known.
The old-fashioned way is to think, oh, my God, a demon is sitting on my chest and squeezing life out of me. I am going to die. And then going, oh, wait a minute. I gotta breathe now. Oh, okay. Wow. When my brain is like lack of oxygen is there, the first thing that comes to my mind is diagnosis with Catholicism. and then as soon as I take a deep breath of air, I go, oh my God, I wasn't breathing.
Our Catholic upbringing did a number on you.
Amen. So back to wine. Okay, so another thing, as we're getting personal, I just want to say I can't drink wine. I love wine. I know it's supposed to be a girl drink.
Yeah,
and
that's one
a lot
reason
of my girlfriends
you had
drink
to make
it.
Us do a cocktail,
right? And it's because it gives me a headache that lasts for like days.
Oh my God.
As much as I love wine, even like drinking one glass and having like three bottles of water.
I didn't know that.
No, oh my God. And it's sad because I love Chianti and I just can't have it anymore.
Oh yeah.
That's funny you say Chianti and I immediately, thank you. Immediately
the fact
think
that I
of
can do that,
you know,
I'm actually
Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's
fava beans.
That's why I love it, obviously.
Yeah, Trisha loves the taste of human flesh.
I opened the door trying to be funny, and now I'm creepy. But as far as stories go, I mean, yeah, it's a crazy weekend. A bunch of people get drunk, and all kinds of funny things happen. We've seen films like this before.
Yeah.
The Hangover.
And yeah, to me, this one had a lot of heavy stuff underneath it.
Each
you know?
Character is dealing with something. Maya Angelou.
That gin is powerful.
Maya Rudolph is dealing with, she's had a mammogram.
Right.
And she is concerned that she may or may not have breast cancer. And she's afraid to answer or to call the doctor back.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Gasteyer is, a workaholic who feels ostracized by her friends. Paula Pell is, a people pleaser who is trying to find love, but is more concerned with other people's feelings than her own. Rachel Dratch is a psychiatrist whose husband is a complete and utter jackass.
Brian.
It's finally out. Brian is an asshole. All right, okay. Good. Yeah, everybody.
Thank
like
God.
Every character
How
kind
supportive.
Of yeah
right
I know
I mean really he's so no. supportive
well no I just love that they none of them
say
none
it
of
until.
Them has ever said it oh no mm-hmm. we love him he's
and, or show or showed even a sign of it really from
yeah.
at least
they
her
just,
reaction
no they no. just vent to each other behind her back
yeah.
oh my God he's
and,
awful
and that's I think what made this
good the, friends
the they're such good friends mm-hmm. Tina Fey's character specifically is calling out the fact that, like, you know, okay, you're in Napa, anything that is said over this weekend, know that most likely that's always been their feeling. They're just, the wine has finally let it out.
And, it's and just the
yeah.
alcohol letting
yeah,
it out.
And if
God.
Anybody starts a sentence line. With, it's not, I'm only saying, it's, let
can
me
I,
just
can
say,
I,
can I just say,
say,
can I just yeah, say something here?
That
feedback.
You know, yeah.
Give you some feedback.
Yeah, and Rachel Dratch is the only one who uses, can I give you some feedback? And that's because she's a therapist. And that's
yes.
specifically how she addresses that particular type of thing. But I love that every character is dealing with their own shit.
Yes.
Their own level of stuff. And like any
and
true friends,
it.
They're trying not to let it address this weekend. They're trying not to let their
well,
own
and,
emotions, but at the same
you
time,
know,
it's
as you get
flooding
older,
out.
It is harder and harder to get a group of people together.
Yeah.
To hang out.
I can only imagine how much that
took. And to be able
to
have that moment
that
where
whole,
you can just have fun.
That whole
and
opening
forget.
Credits sequence shows you, as funny as it is, it shows you how difficult it is.
But there's that yeah. that comes with time, right? And
sure.
the fact that you have friendships, that a group of friends that stands the test of time,
mm-hmm.
that is all over the country,
mm-hmm.
And doesn't get to get together often. And that, like any group of friends, you have members of those groups that are closer to each
of
other
course.
And
perfect.
Then but I mean when you're young you know it's like oh my God what are you doing tonight you want to hang out
oh, yeah.
and then it becomes hey what's up next week and then it becomes how's March looking for
yeah.
you guys can we put something down on paper because yeah. I'm booking up
and
that's
then
like
as soon as March rolls around oh I forgot I actually had something
yeah the beginning of the movie. When I started watching the movie, it seemed like everybody that they came in contact with was trying to prepare them for the fact that they're not as good of friends as they actually think they are.
You're right.
Yeah.
There was a lot of references to that. Even, when Lady Sunshine, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
When she shows up, she's like, well, we'll see how long that lasts.
Yes.
And Tina Fey makes reference to it as yep. well.
Right. And then I think it's
a
Amy.
Husband or somebody
right.
says.
Emily's husband.
Yeah. Like something about crying.
This is already 3 days longer than it needs to be. It's only a 3 day trip.
But it was. right.
Oh,
but
I
it was
get
before
it.
That. There was something like there was some reference. I don't think we actually heard him say it, but like something, some comment about.
She's relaying it.
Yeah, something about it being negative, like, oh, it's not actually a good, you know, happy, exciting reunion.
Yeah, because a bunch of girls can't get together. There's going to be a cat fight. There's going to be an alpha situation. And they talk about that. They mention that very early. Like, why can't we just hang out? Why does everybody act like we can't just hang out?
Exactly.
It's so weird.
And as a viewer, I felt like it was like the outside world that was saying you're not as good of friends as you actually are. And I was like, oh, this is a really interesting take on that.
And then speaking of the outside world, when you get to the millennial intervention.
Oh, yeah. The nanny fine.
Oh, my God. That
we're,
was
we're fine. Fran fun.
Oh, it's part of the show.
It's part of the show.
So mad.
No.
Could you come back for future shows? Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, like, you're just angry at us? No, not angry, but you guys can get porn real easy. Do you know how hard it was before the internet?
Yes.
And you're so confident. I spent my whole life hating myself.
And it makes me angry.
That was one of the most beautiful moments. Just
oh my
everything.
God, Emily's delivery on that was perfect.
Everything you would ever want to say to a millennial, you're just like, oh, yeah, that's right.
When Kate Thompson on Saturday Night Live did the whole millennial versus, I think it was baby boomer, game show, and it was hysterical. And he's like, and like a Gen Xer, I'm just gonna stand here and not care.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really, but it is kind of true that we've just been noted as being the observers,
especially on Jen.
I'm not observing anything on Jen.
God,
this is not
who
this
made
is not
Jen.
Casual
Jen is awful. No offense to anybody
I think
who's
it's tasty.
I you know, Tanqueray, good
when
job.
It's not by itself.
Yeah, it's a great mixer.
Uh-uh.
I don't know what it would be like to mix that with olives, though.
Because that is the thing,
no,
is like gin and olives.
No.
So
dirty
like a
martini.
You could do a vodka martini, or you can do a gin martini. And okay. To me, Christmas and olives, I don't think I'm sold on.
No. And you know what? I spent so much of my childhood trying to like
gin?
Olives.
Oh.
Jesus. Keep it in a dull roar there. You'll make me pee my pants. So, anyways. So, no, but I spent a good deal of my childhood trying to like olives, especially, you know, obviously green olives are used in alcoholic drinks, and I watched a lot of old movies as a child because I had no friends. And... So I really wanted to drink martinis because they were all the rage in all the movies.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, I'll start by, you know, having olives because I can't, you know, make a martini. I'm a child. So I was like, I will do that. And it took me years, and I love olives. I did not like them initially. I love them. And then I finally got a martini and I was like, this is terrible. But if you have a dirty martini and it's like 90% olive juice, then I'm like,
extremely dirty.
This is good.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. One thing I know we've kind of already discussed cast and crew. We've kind of already discussed characters, but I find it funny that like we've hit on Tina Fey. But we haven't really delved into the fact
she
of Tina Fey's character.
She wasn't one of the main crew because of her schedule.
Was so that specifically?
Yes.
Okay, so you were, you found that. All
right. Right. So they did this where they had her be the owner of the property.
The lonely groundskeeper
who knows
everyone.
Yeah. And you only have two moments where you actually see her interact with anybody else in town.
Yep.
And it's like, your password is still this. Your Wi-Fi password is still this. And the bartender was like, yeah. And then she talks about how, like, the receptionist at the hospital, like, how's the chess team going with your kid? Like, she knows these really oddly specific things about people, and yet she doesn't have
friends.
She's
lonely. Yeah,
right.
She has no friends.
She's not friends with anybody. Yeah. Well, and she was perfect for the character she played.
Beautiful.
I felt that was perfect.
Right. And they got the, I think the wardrobe they talked about, her wardrobe came from somebody they actually, location scouting, somebody they actually talked to, and they're like, okay, we're taking this and we're making it part of the
film. That's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Oh, hey, we're going to poke the bear?
Oh, yeah. Let's poke that bear. So our first review here is from Cinema Blend, and they said, it just won't hold the audience over throughout. And fans of the female SNL icons will be disappointed. I love these moments where you guys are internalizing and you both take air in at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to be patient with another human being. Well, I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, granted, I can understand those people who like Bridesmaids as an SNL cast film. This was not a Bridesmaids. This was much more a coming of age, but not the age
that normally.
Yeah, it's not
coming of age film.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
It's a coming of age film, and not a normal coming.
Well,
of age.
And I'm sorry. How many movies are made about women in, of a certain age?
Yeah.
And how many movies about women of a certain age have more than one fucking woman in the film?
Yeah, that's also true.
Sorry.
What I would say, too, about this is it's a movie, and I've talked about this a little bit, but it's like it's a movie that has, continually surprises you as you watch it. And, I mean, that's why I wanted to bring up improvisation. I don't think it was the improvisation that actually changed the course of the film.
It
was very good writing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a movie that you think you know what's going to happen, and
it pleasantly surprises you at every turn.
Yes.
What I commented on very almost at the beginning of this entire podcast was the sheer fact that at no point is this them going to the nth. They're not going beyond.
This isn't
they are as real
sketch,
as humanly
crazy,
possible.
Crazy. Exactly. No. Over the top, which I'm sorry, is not something I would see in a film, because that kind of stuff doesn't have the endurance to go for a full feature. When it goes crazy,
and
it's very hard to keep that for.
And that's also what makes it a coming of age film, is they are coming of the age of 50. And that's why I think that this is such a beautiful film.
It's a wonderful film, and I'm sorry that Cinema Blend isn't old enough to understand it.
Slate says, a waste of talent that makes Wine Country even more forgettable than its jokes.
I don't think they like wine.
Or jokes.
Go ahead.
Chicago Reader.
You're shitting me.
Of course.
How the...
Chicago Reader says only three words. And I'm confused by these three words.
Only says three words, or does it lead up to saying
their entire
three
review
words?
Is three words?
Well, it's not their entire review. Oh. It is
a
Rotten
synopsis.
Tomatoes.
Distilled to.
This is the summary of their review.
Mm-hmm.
A curious letdown.
Hmm. Well, that's kind of how I feel about Chicago Reader every time you read their stuff.
Dude. See, there's this.
Let's just clink our glasses, please.
I'm going to clink your glass. We greatly appreciate all of our listeners for choosing this podcast and specifically for supporting independent films. Keep your ears out for the next episode. And to check out our show notes or drop us a note, please visit us at imbibecinema.com. Once again, I'm Jonathan C. Leckin. Thank you again for imbibing with us. Cheers.